Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he explained that what the people were witnessing had been foretold by the prophet Joel. Joel also had much to say about the day of the Lord. Therefore, the day of Pentecost was the beginning of prophetic things to occur in the last days. It was also the beginning of the miraculous works of God's Spirit associated with the preaching of the gospel. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 14 through 36.
Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We will pick up in verse 14 where we left off a couple of weeks ago. I want to read a couple of verses before that because this will be the context of Peter standing up with the 11 and speaking. The Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and the people who were there heard them speak in their own languages, the people that were in the upper room, the wonderful works of God. And the Bible tells us that they were amazed, that they were in doubt, that they said one to another, what does this mean? Why is this happening? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And here's where we pick up. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. In other words, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These men are not filled with wine that intoxicates. Well, we know that they are filled with wine that is not from a brewery. They're filled with the new wine from heaven. But notice, he is pointing now the phenomenon to the Word of God. And on the day of Pentecost, we see this beautiful blend of God's supernatural, miraculous work connected with the Word of God. And so Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No message could have been more unwelcome to the Jews who had just 50 days earlier, by and large, rejected Christ's claim that he was the Messiah. This is a message that you can be sure they did not want to hear. And Peter is replying to those who are saying, what's this all about? What does this mean? And in his reply to the jeering crowd, Peter is going to quote from Joel chapter 2, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, and Psalm chapter 110. He's going to quote Old Testament scriptures to prove that what was happening on the day of Pentecost was actually prophesied in the Holy Scriptures. Now, it should be pretty obvious to you and I as we begin to unpack this section of scripture that when you read verses 19 and 20, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun and shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come, that not everything that took place on the day of Pentecost historically was fulfilled. What we have here is a prophecy of something that would occur in the last time and that it would be carried on in and through and up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Great Tribulation period, and prior to setting up the millennium. When you read the book of Joel, one of the phrases there that is mentioned five times is the phrase, the day of the Lord. And in that context, Joel is prophesying of a time where there will be war and judgment upon this earth, ushering in or prior to the second coming of Christ. That did not happen on the day of Pentecost. That will happen. But what did happen on the day of Pentecost and continues to happen to this day is the outpouring of God's Spirit upon all flesh, Jew and Gentile, the miraculous supernatural work of God. His giftings, his graces, his wonders are still in operation today. Now that's good news. And they will be in operation until the great and notable day of the Lord come. And so, in my opinion, it is wrong to say that the time of the manifestations of the Spirit have ceased and they only took place during the apostolic era. I do not believe that it is true. I'm sure I'll get some inbox emails on the contrary. Let's just agree to disagree. God does miraculous works today. He still does supernatural works today. These gifts are for today. When you come forward and you, if you are ill, and you ask for elders to pray for you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, we are to pray the prayer of faith, hoping that you will be healed. We don't anoint you with oil. So, well, I'll just go take a few aspirin. Now, you may do that, but we believe this. That this is how God has gifted the church. The gifts of the Spirit are for the church. The ascension ministry gifts are for the church. These are giftings that God has given to the church. There's no such thing as the early church, middle church, later church, old church, young church. You're either an alive church or you're a dead one. And these gifts and the fruit of the Spirit are given to the church that we might be alive for Jesus Christ. Notice, he says, this is that. And he points them to the Scriptures. He's going to point to the Scriptures three separate times here. These are people who, by and large, had rejected Christ's claims that he was the Messiah. He's going to quote Scripture. He's going to make reference to what's happening on the day of Pentecost, which teaches you and me that when you are witnessing to someone and they may immediately not want to hear what you're saying, always go back to the Scripture. Always give them the Scripture. Share the Scripture with them. Share the Word of God with them. It is my personal conviction that the best track you can give someone that you're praying for is the Word of God. And just pray for them and say, you read God's word, and I will pray for you that God will illuminate you and inspire you, enlighten you. That's probably the medicine that someone gave you years ago, and it's pretty good medicine. Just reading the word of God, not leaning on the commentaries, not leaning on the internet, reading the word of God, and let God speak to you. This is that. And so that's what Peter is doing here. Now, notice that he mentioned the last days. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we read, hath in these last days, that is God, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so the first advent of Jesus Christ marks the beginning of the last days. In the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 1, we read, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Daniel 10:14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Those are two significant prophecies because they are addressed to who? The Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And Genesis chapter 49, verse 1 is the first occurrence of the term, at least in English, the last days. And it is a most important aspect of understanding end times Bible prophecy because it relates to the things that will happen to the nation of Israel in the last days. And I believe that a very significant part of that prophecy is the regathering of the nation of Israel, the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948. Last days, Jacob in the Old Testament talking about the times that we're reading about on the day of Pentecost up to this present time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Is that true? The word perilous means violent, fierce, wild, grievous, hard to bear, distressing. That is so descriptive of the planet that you and I live on. And the Bible says that these times will get increasingly worse, like birth pains, more intense, more perilous. Can you imagine? In other words, as perilous as it is, tomorrow will be worse than today in the world. When it comes to the things of the Lord, there's always going to be people who mock. There's always going to be scoffers. This has always been the way it is. There is nothing new under the sun. Peter, in his second epistle, says in chapter 3, verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." And he specifies people who will be mocking the word of God, the truth of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the point that they're almost criminalizing you and I for believing the Bible, but it's specified that those individuals will be ungodly, walking in perverted lusts. We see this happening. We see this happening. It's on primetime TV. It's awards programs, Grammy Awards. It's out there. Now, the thing of it is that in saying that, we are misunderstood as Christians to say that we are saying these things because our hearts are filled with hatred toward those people. No, it's not hatred at all. Those individuals are our mission field. And they're living the way they're living and doing what they're doing because they know not Jesus Christ, just like you and I were. But to say that it is what the Bible says it is, it's an abomination, it's an abomination. If it's inordinate, it's inordinate. If it's a perversion, it's a perversion. God does not need you and I to identify what those words mean. And they're mockers. The Apostle John, at the end of his life, says in 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last time." So here again, I'm reading these scriptures. All of these paint a collage of what the end times will be like. Not just Pentecost, the birth of Christ, violent times, perilous times, times of judgment coming, scoffers, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Anti means against Christ or replacements of Christ. Even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. When Jesus told Peter, James, and John about the end of the age, and he warned them, three times he warned them about false Christs and false prophets. Three times he warned them. Antichrist, those who preach another Christ, a different Christ, a counterfeit Christ, or a replacement for Christ. So Peter here, speaking to these individuals, is telling them all these things that are happening because God had ordained these things to be so. He says, you men of Israel. Now remember, he begins by saying, you men of Judea. Now he says in verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, you know that as soon as he said that, he would have said, Yeshua of Nazareth, touche. Yeshua of Nazareth. And Peter's being pretty bold here, right? 50 days earlier, he's hiding in an upper room, and he is afraid of facing anybody because of fear of the Jews. He's now filled with the Spirit, and as it says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, the righteous are bold as a lion. Not cocky, not arrogant, not holier than thou, but just bold, just speaking out what you believe clearly, passionately, and lovingly. Peter's standing up now. He's standing up against those to speak a word of clarification about those who really arrested Christ as a criminal, claiming that he was a false Christ. He says, you men of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So you see, it's determined by God, sovereignly, it was going to happen. Nothing was going to change it. But then there's the culpability of man. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And then he says in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Isn't that great? Jesus was proved by the scriptures to be the Messiah because of the miracles and wonders and signs that he did were messianic proofs. It's written in the book of Isaiah, it was written that when the Messiah would come, he would open the eyes of the blind, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the dumb would speak, the poor would hear the gospel. Isn't that what Jesus did when he picked up the scroll there in Luke chapter 4, quoting from Isaiah chapter 61? He's telling them what they already knew. He says, you've seen it. You've heard it. If there was a newspaper or if there was internet that day, they would have been clicking left and right. You're not going to believe it. This man, Jesus, he just raised a guy up from the dead. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the gospel have the poor have the gospel preached to them. People that have been bound by addictions and afflictions are set free. That's not only what Jesus did, that's what Jesus does. He's risen. He's alive. There is no less power in Jesus than there was on earth. He says, you know that. You've heard of that. He says, that Jesus, you crucified. But it was all according to God's plan. But he also was raised from the dead because it was not possible that he could be holden by it. Now, see here again, as I was saying, you've got two things going on here. You've got the supernatural power of God's Spirit. You've got these people that are still trying to figure out, what does this mean? This is incredible. We've never had a synagogue or a temple service like this. I mean, there's something different. There's something powerful. There's something from above that is happening. But there's not only that, there is the solid rock of Scripture. The two go hand in hand. They're never in conflict. They're always in concert with one another. And I believe that that's how God always intends it to be for the people of God. There's the teaching, there's the preaching of the Word of God, and then there's the supernatural manifestations of God's power to save, to heal, to deliver, to break through lives that have been bound by addictions and afflictions. He still delivers people today. But I love how you've got the spectacular and then the normal. He points them back to the scriptures. Remember on In Luke chapter 24, Jesus has risen from the dead. There's two disciples going for a long walk because they had heard from some other disciples that Jesus rose again from the dead. So Cleopas and this other guy, they're walking. And they didn't believe it, right? They didn't believe it. And so they're kind of like walking. And then Jesus comes alongside of them. They couldn't recognize him. And so Jesus, I love this. Jesus comes alongside and goes, what's the problem? So they say to Jesus, what are you, new around here? you don't know what happened? We thought that he was the Messiah. And there's some people who, in our group, that tell us that he rose again from the dead. They're telling me, can you believe that? And then Jesus begins in verse 27 of Luke 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he took what you and I would call the Old Testament to prove that he's the Messiah, which means you and I, as students of the Word of God, if we are serious students of the Word of God, should be able to lead someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ apart from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. So that's a homework assignment for you and me. We should be able to do it. Jesus expounded to them. Now, wouldn't you think Jesus expounded them all the scriptures, all the pictures, all of the types. Of course, we see them in the New Testament, but they're there. They were blinded by the truth of them because their hearts were hardened by unbelief or by wrong training or wrong teaching. Now, remember when Jesus said that there are some among you who will never taste death until they see the kingdom of God coming in power? And I think it says, and 8 days later, it goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus with Peter, James, and John, okay? And there appears Moses and Elijah. Now, ladies, never take it too personal when your husbands fall asleep. Men can fall asleep anywhere. There they are on this Mount of Transfiguration, spectacular. They fall asleep. They're asleep. And like we go, ooh. Jesus, Moses, Elijah. Let's build three tabernacles. And a voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And then Jesus says, don't say anything about this until later. Later, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Say, people were saying, oh, you guys have made this all up. So we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine that? I mean, it's hard seeing the majesty of God, the power of God, the beauty of God, the radiance of God. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The testimony of Scripture was a more sure word of prophecy than even the experience Peter had on the Mount of Transfiguration. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.